Yeah, I don't know that it's really changed my understanding of curiosity, other than it has definitely expanded what I believe and understand curiosity can accomplish.
This is Choose to be Curious, a show all about curiosity. We talk about research and theory, but mostly it's conversations about how curiosity shows up in work and life. I'm your host, Lynn Borton. Welcome. Come, choose to be curious with us. Do you have things you do with any regularity that feed your curious soul, that you just know will energize and enliven your day, your week, your whole month? You should. They make a difference. Which is why I paid attention when my buddy Mo said he knew of such a thing that he was sure I would like. Mo, who was born in Somalia, grew up in Canada, and has lived in more places than I can readily count, has a way of finding community-building, creativity-enhancing, curiosity-choosing opportunities, and I have learned to follow his lead. Mo was talking about Creative Mornings, a monthly breakfast series for the creative community. One Friday morning a month, they gather for free breakfast and to hear a local speaker's take on a globally assigned theme. What's not to love? But for one reason or another, I didn't get to a single gathering until curiosity was the aforementioned global theme. Then I really couldn't not go. And so it happened that I was with several hundred other people at the National Geographic headquarters in Washington to hear planetary scientist Bethany Ellman talk about curiosity and our place in the universe. And I was hooked. She was wonderful, of course. Lots of cool pictures and stories from the NASA Jet Propulsion Lab and of the Curiosity rover on Mars. But the crowd was amazing. Interesting, interested, deeply curious people connecting over coffee and muffins. It was great. But what comes into such an event? Who makes the magic happen? And over all these months, what have they learned about curiosity, about its very nature, about piquing, nurturing, choosing curiosity? I reached out to what turns out to be a fairly new chapter, Creative Mornings Fayetteville, happily situated in Northwest Arkansas. Lawyer and water policy scholar Regina Buono had lived in Austin for years and been a devotee of Creative Mornings there. When she moved back to Fayetteville, she wanted to bring Creative Mornings with her. She joined forces with filmmaker and visibility strategist Jessica Whalen, and the two set out to do just that. I am delighted to have them both with me today. So welcome, Regina and Jessica.
Thanks, Lynn. We're happy to be here.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Oh, it's great to have you. So set the stage, Regina. What's the quick version of how Creative Mornings works?
Well, you've done a pretty good job of it. Basically, it's about bringing anyone who wants to come to enjoy some food and some connection and some community while listening to what is often an inspiring speech on the global theme that you mentioned.
So in your Creative Mornings application, which I viewed online, which was actually a lovely view into Fayetteville, but also into kind of the spirit behind Creative Mornings, it was a fun find for me. You talked about wanting to find a place where people could start exploring. Why did that feel important?
I'll be honest. In some ways, it was a little bit selfish. I was looking for a place for me to start exploring because I had just come back to Fayetteville after being in Austin for 20 or so years. And I wanted a way to get in touch with all kinds of folks that wouldn't necessarily be in my daily life. I work at home. I work remotely. So I just really was curious to see who would come and also to sort of see what it could become in terms of helping others to make connections, helping others to advance their careers, helping others to find new friends. And then I ran into Jess and she seemed to have a similar vision. And I have to say, that video, I'm so proud of that video. And that video was all Jess. Like, she just knocked it out of the park. So sometimes, like, I'll just go watch that video, like, randomly, just because I'm so proud of it and so impressed by Jess. For me, it was a little bit selfish, but also a little bit curious to what the community could do with it.
Yeah. And so, Jess, you had your catcher's mitt on, right? You were really ready to receive that ball when she lobbed it out there.
Yeah, I think because I just met Regina just under this context of
can you help me make a video about this thing? But as soon as I heard Regina start talking about Creative Mornings and what it is and what it meant to her, I really immediately first had people that I know and love and work with that came to mind that, and then myself as a creative professional in this area, where I knew immediately this was something that was going to fill a really meaningful gap in our community and in our industries, and just in a way for people to be in rooms with people that could really, that have something to give and sort of this create this like reciprocity, this culture of reciprocity that is sometimes nice. Hard around a lot of creatives, right? Most of us we're self-employed or maybe we're in-house in big corporate, and it's hard to really be in a room where you can just sit around people who get it, or maybe they aren't creative in the traditional sense that you are, but they love to support it. And so having, again, that reciprocal nature, as soon as we kind of started talking about the video and then Creative Mornings on a broader scale, I was like, I know who I would love to interview. I know the questions I would love to ask people, not just to convince Creative Mornings to allow us to have a chapter, but also just sort of proof of concept this out of, is this something, is this really as meaningful as I think it's going to be? Asking other people and sort of crowdsourcing that need was such a fun part of the video.
You know, it's funny, not that I would want it to have come out any other way, but it almost sounds as if the process itself might have been a catalyst for community building and connectivity in a way. It's sort of a useful reminder that sometimes you just sort of have to, you have to cast a net, you have to sort of try, and sometimes community comes maybe in the form of an established enterprise, and maybe it's something entirely different. That's a kind of cool takeaway from it.
That process was absolutely integral to getting it off the ground. I mean, that's the process through which we reached out to our coffee sponsor, Amber Dietrich, who runs Confident Coffee. You know, we didn't approach her saying, will you give us a bunch of coffee? We approached her saying, hey, we have this idea. Would you be in our video? What do you think about this? And she just jumped in like wholeheartedly. And it was the same kind of across the board with Likewise, which was a co-working space that we initially started in. You know, people were just excited to help, I don't know, sell the community, I guess, right? Like let people understand how much creativity, how many artists and filmmakers and musicians and, you know, just all of this creative architects. I think we featured my friend Walter, are here in Northwest Arkansas doing amazing creative work, even though it's not a big city.
Right, right. One of the things that I really like about Creative Mornings is this, there's a globally assigned theme, but then each chapter, each location gets to do with it whatever you want, right? Am I right about that? Is that true? They're nodding.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's true.
So talk to me about what that process is like. I mean, it's sort of open to interpretation. I think of Karen Ward, who does stuff with Creative Mornings, and she always talks about, you know, what are all the ways we could, which is one of like my favorite curiosity generative expressions, right? So how do you think about the themes, and what's that process like?
So I would say it's pretty iterative. You know, we get the themes in June or July of the previous year. And the way that we do it is that we meet at my house and we have some wine and we all just brainstorm ideas. I mean, who do I know? What about this angle on this topic? We make a bunch of notes. And you're right that each chapter does get to interpret it. My sort of favorite difference of interpretation recently was we had the theme endurance, and we went and asked Stephen Koger, who is an attorney in the region who works with a lot of immigrants and asylum seekers, to talk about the endurance that they show and that sort of thing. The Kansas City chapter, a friend texted me had asked a sex coach to speak on endurance. It's just like a phenomenal, like, you know, how creative you can get with the themes. So yeah, it's very iterative. Sometimes we get people and they, you know, unfortunately something comes up and they back out and we have to sort of pivot, find another angle on it. But it's just been sort of, it's all kind of fallen into place. It's been fun.
Yeah.
And it's been fun too to watch. Because how we approach the folks that we do ask to speak is we really frame it around, we think you have a story to tell about this topic. And so that's the extent of our influence on how they approach the topic that they speak on. So we don't even know how they're fully going to interpret the theme until we're listening to them speak on that Friday morning, which is a really fun thing to see because we really encourage it to be about their story versus like step-by-step education, which that mm-hmm. is fun, but we want to hear about you as a person and how this theme relates to you, hearing what ends up coming out like from themselves, from their heart, from their spirit while they're talking about this theme is also such a fun surprise on those mornings.
So spin that out a little bit, because I know in your work in particular, Jess, you have this interest in storytelling and empathy. To me, those are also big curiosity practices. You can't have empathy without some level of curiosity about somebody else. How does that play out in the experience, not just the speakers, but for the group that assembles? Because the magic is as much about the people in the room as the person with the mic, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's been – what's really interesting to see with our group is you have the people who are coming because they're interested in the specific topic or speaker of the day, but then we are building this group of folks who just come every month no matter what, because it's become an essential part of their own practice, whether it's their community practice, their professional practice, their creative practice. To me, the thing that is such a big barrier for our capacity for curiosity is a lack of rest. In order to have room to be curious, to have that space for mental play, for just saying like, I wonder, or it might be cool if, we can't be too burnt out and we can't be too isolated. And so I think because of the whole structure of the morning specifically, we have music and we have time for people to connect, and sometimes we'll have grounding movement, and when I was walking back and forth between my camera and my other camera, even on last Friday, I heard someone say, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Like, you could tell they were expecting a more corporate type experience. And uh-huh. and it was a good thing. You saw him kind of settle into the more grounding motion. And so I think that pretty much what I think about my entire role on this planet is to help create open and safe spaces through holding space for people's stories. And so it's really important that happens for our community, that they have that space to just take a Friday morning, drink some really good coffee, relax, and just hear something new, hear about something they've never thought about, hear about an acupuncturist or a lawyer or a professor or whatever is a coach, whatever is happening, just to give their brain a chance to have something new to think about. So then they continue on in that curiosity, in those creative practices on a more supported note after that meeting.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that I like about the multiplicity of interpretations on the theme, is that it is an opportunity to intersect with the concept in a way that may not have occurred to me personally.
Right, exactly.
But you know, somebody else came up with it. It's like, oh, I want to, like, when I went back and I looked at how all different chapters had interpreted curiosity, oh my gosh, wild variations on the theme. But that's kind of the point, right? I mean, that's what's cool about it. You're listening to Choose to Be Curious. I'm your host, Lynn Borton, and I'm joined today by Regina Buono and Jessica Whalen of Creative Mornings, Fayetteville. One of the things that I like in creative, many things that I like, but one of the things that I like is when you enroll and you sign up, you have a little profile, and they ask some questions, and you can answer as much or as little as you want. But one of the things they ask is for a superpower. And you guys both answered this question. Do you remember what you said? So Regina, yours is listening. And Jess, you said, I see what's magical about you before you even realize it. And I thought, what a great pair to be running a Creative Mornings for starters, let me just say. But also, what a great set of curiosity practices. And I just wonder if you would reflect a little bit on those in your life, in your work, or in the context of Creative Mornings?
For me, I guess the most obvious connection is listening is super important in my professional life. I work in water governance, policy, And, you know, a lot of that is about problem solving. And so much of that is about listening to what the problem is, understanding the problem, understanding the locals, particularly, you know, given the sort of policy context. So oftentimes policy seems to come from above, but really like bottom up solutions are going to be better, particularly in environmental governance. So listening to understand, listening to what's not being said, really key. And then being able to take that and go back to think about how we could address whatever the issue is. So that's probably the most obvious for me with Creative Mornings. It's about listening to what the community is giving us back, what they're like, what they, you know, don't seem to engage in as much. Listening to the team, you know, are they still enjoying it? What do they want? Where do they want the group to go? Yeah. For me, I guess that's what I would say about listening.
I like it. I like it. Jess, how about you?
For me, I don't know if anyone knows or cares about the Enneagram, but I am an Enneagram 4, and the sort of cliched ideas about an Enneagram 4 is we're the person who will stop and just sort of look up and notice. But a lot of it for me has always been rooted in people. So as the image creation on filmmaking side, I am always thinking like, I wonder what would happen if I just turned this light this way, or if I just did this one thing differently, what sort of magic would come from that? So my other degree besides cinema is intercultural studies, which is essentially an idea of applied anthropology. So coming into a space and thinking and observing them and not pressuring the people who you are with to become you. So how are they communicating? What makes them special? What makes them unique? What do they need from me? How can I make sure I'm being sensitive to their relationships with time and culture and all those kinds of things? And so when I started down my creative degree and my creative path, I saw that they were perfectly married to each other, because I love just learning about people. And my favorite thing is for someone to say out loud, "Well, I'm just this." And immediately my brain is like, no, it's not just. Like, this is so powerful and this is so special. And you think it's just normal because it's so natural to you. But the entire world needs to know what you do and how you do it and the things that you make or the things that you say or whatever your work is. Or you're making a deprecating joke about this part of your personality. But do you know how many people need this version of a person in their lives? And so I think that, because I'm always trying to look at how I can celebrate that, whether it's through a fictional story or through video work or through helping people tell their own stories for themselves through storytelling and visibility strategy work. I like to think about how I listen as empathetic listening. So what's actually like, what's this undercurrent that you're not quite sure how to word, you're not quite sure how to say, but that's where the power is. I do have to have a constant state of mind of curiosity, because if I'm too burnt out to pay attention, or if I'm too in my own head, I could miss out on the magic that someone else is bringing into the room. And yeah, I have for a long time felt like it was a superpower, because so many times when I reflect it back, when I become the mirror, when I become the megaphone, and I'm like, this is what you've just told me, they almost don't believe it because it feels so different than how they said it to me.
Right.
But it just takes that noticing of the tiny things, of the way your eyes light up or your eyebrows raise or your face opens up when you talk about this, that lets me know there's actually something so much deeper and more magical going on here.
That's lovely. Wow. So has your idea of curiosity changed in any way as a result of Creative Mornings?
I think so. I think that it was really, for me, because I am a creative professional, and also my husband is a creative professional, and also all of my friends are creative professionals. I've always said it, but it's been really great to put into practice. Like, I used to say it to my sister, who is an accountant, what you're doing is creative too. Like, the way you work with numbers, the way you can make spreadsheets, do all the tricks, that is a creative process. And it's one I have no access to in my own brain. But to kind of have that play out in regular practice of having people from all types of professions and listening to them, allowing myself to be curious about what they're saying, but also kind of watching them be curious in how they present on a theme, right? when you were sitting in your room pondering how you were going to talk about this, what was the result? So I don't know that my definition or concept of curiosity has changed. I think it's just expanded or deepened in allowing these other folks to come in and show me what curiosity looks on their end, right? When we did have the acupuncture doctor, her curiosity is very detective. How, like, there's a problem and I'm gonna yes and what if my way to a solution. And other folks, their creativity is a lot more spiritual and allowing what they believe in the divine to guide the whole thing. And it's just this pure gut instinct. And some people's curiosity is a lot more cerebral or a lot more community focused. And so I think my definition of curiosity has just expanded because I'm just taking their definitions and stuffing them into my own more than it has completely changed.
Yeah, I don't know that it's really changed my understanding of curiosity, other than it has definitely expanded what I believe and understand curiosity can accomplish, if that makes sense.
Oh, like what?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe you would call it a confidence builder. I don't know. I mean, I've always achieved many of the goals I set out to do, but it has been really awesome to see how my curiosity, Jess's curiosity, the others who have joined us, the curiosity about what this could become is growing. And, you know, we just had our biggest event of the 2 years. We had over 60 people show up. Numerous people commented on the energy in the air. The musicians were great. The speaker was great. And so it's just sort of seeing like what this little kernel of curiosity coming back from home, from Austin, thinking what it could do, seeing what it's doing, and kind of wondering now what could it become in the future. And I don't mean in necessarily just in size, but in positive impact. You know, people are telling me, oh, I heard about, so we have these things called espresso shots. I don't know how many chapters do them. I know Austin did them. That's why we do them. They're basically like little like 60-second community announcements. And we try to keep them focused on things that are free or very accessible. Yeah. So last month we had someone who spoke about a program that the library is doing to support entrepreneurs in Northwest Arkansas. There's a pretty robust entrepreneurship community culture here. And the library was offering a free class. So this last event, Friday, one of the folks who've come semi-regularly told me that she had applied and been accepted and was, you know, she hadn't known about it until she heard about it in our espresso shots. So I really like the idea of, I'm curious about what other connections and services we'll be able to, you know, bring to people that will be of value in their lives.
So. That's great. Well, what a great, I mean, as we said at the start, you know, a community builder, a connector, all that sort of stuff. So speaking of connections, I have my big jar of wannabe analogies. And I was actually thinking about this as you all were talking about hearing speakers from all these different fields and then sort of going home and thinking about like, well, what can I do with that? How does that relate to what I do? And that's analogous thinking, right? It's like, what connection can I make with this? So here's my big jar. You game for this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Slips of paper in here. I'm going to take one for you, each of you, one for me, oh, and one for the audience. And we're going to make an analogy to curiosity with whatever is on these slips of paper. So mine is thunder. Jess, yours is bread. And Regina, yours is rock concert. So do you want to go or do you want to give me, you want me to give a shot first?
You go for it.
Okay. So mine is thunder. How is curiosity like thunder? I think like thunder, it can startle us. It's often a sign that there's stuff kind of in tumult of some sort. And thunder is an expression of energy. I mean, it's generated by energy. And I think curiosity is the same thing. It can be big and loud, but it's always, always a sign of energy at work. So that's how it's like thunder. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. So curiosity is like a rock concert. So my mind immediately went to the last rock concert I was at, which was U2 at the Sphere. I would say it's kind of a building up process, like waiting for the concert to start and then like excitement, like where is it leading when the concert starts? And then it builds up to like the sort of climactic song, whatever. And then it's just from my last experience at the Sphere, I mean, there was so much to look at and so much like to overwhelm your senses that the curiosity was definitely like just, oh, look, wow.
Nice. And Jess, how about you? How's curiosity like bred?
There's a few different ways that my mind took this, where the first one is that it is a staple that keeps us full, that keeps our life full, that keeps our life satisfied, that keeps our friends and neighbors and communities fed. But then I also think it is what you're going to make it, depending on what other ingredients you combine with it. Is it sweet and a treat in your day, like if you were to put Nutella and banana on it? Or is it really just hearty and satisfying and giving you energy that you can sustain for a long time? Like if you were to put protein and avocados in it, are you going to make it a little spicy? Are you going to put some crushed red pepper, maybe some stringent pickled vegetables, that it really is going to have the flavor that you're going to put on it because of how you approach your life, your work, the people around you, and you can build it for it to become what you need to keep you going throughout your day. Whether you do need it to just be a fun little treat in the middle of a really long workhorse type day, or if you need it to be sustainable for a really important thing that you want to think about.
I love it. That's great. And audience, yours is bear. How is curiosity like a bear? Let me know. Social media, hashtag analogy. Well, Regina, Jess, thank you so much for this. This has been a lot of fun, and congratulations on what you're doing in Fayetteville.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
You've been listening to Choose to be Curious. I'm Lynn Borton, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here today. You can find all my shows on my website at choosetobecurious.com. I hope you'll follow me here, there, and on social media at Choose to be Curious, where you can share your bear analogy, hashtag analogy. Many thanks to my delightful guests, Regina Buono and Jessica Whalen. Check out links to Creative Mornings Fayetteville and around the globe on my website. Thanks too to Sean Ballack for our theme music. And this is Bauxite from Little Rock via Blue Dot Sessions. I hope you'll join us again next time. Till then, choose to be curious.
I'd kind of like to shout out the community support that we've gotten. Like, people have really been wonderful about donating breakfast, donating money to buy breakfast, coffee, space. We're pulling it together, but it has truly been embraced by the community. We're able to take it around, as many Creative Morning chapters do, to sort of beloved locations in the community. And I'm just grateful that the community has been so generous.